30 already. I forget that our show is in the afternoon. This is Kevin within studio with Kevin here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo. We're broadcasting live on Rogers 946 and radiowaterloo.ca/listen. And of course, you can catch the show live on Facebook on the At My Audio Face page. This week, I'm very happy to join or to have Cameron Dearlove join me. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming out. You've been a very busy fella all over the Cambridge Times and
right.
The Waterloo Record.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah. I feel like I need to pay a few people for those flattering articles.
If they're true, hey, it's all true stuff from what I read. So congratulations, you're now about a month into a new job. Just before going into that, if you'd like to just give us a brief bio on Cameron and go ahead and start right from where you were born and take us forward.
Okay, well, it was a chilly January morning. So I was born and raised in Cambridge, actually.
Perfect.
and spent my childhood and youth there and went to University, Wilfrid Laurier.
Mm.
After that, originally intended to be a teacher. So I went to teacher's college at Nipissing. Probably in about the first week, I realized that maybe it wasn't the right career. I really enjoyed it, but I didn't love it the way I think that a teacher should.
By the first week, that's amazing.
Like, yeah,
you,
yeah.
All this time doing through university, right. You're like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what happened that made it switch so quickly?
Sudden. Yeah, I came in with the intention, you know, that I want to help people, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I want to do. I want to have a positive impact on people and on my community. And very quickly I sort of said, you know, maybe the classroom just isn't the right venue for me. I think mm-hmm. it is for a lot of people. And my thinking was I want those teachers to be in the classroom. And so,
sure.
After a bit of a period teaching, I ended up going overseas for a couple of years and teaching in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure out what it is that I wanted to do. And when I came back to Canada, I ended up in Kitchener working for a few years at the Working Center,
mm.
Which is this, you know, incredible organic organization which serves the community. And that's really where I got a chance to experience, you know, working within the nonprofit sector, but you know, how to put yourself at service to the community and put yourself at service to others, you know, in a way that is kind, welcoming, supports, serving people with dignity and respect, so that was a really instrumental experience
mm-hmm.
in my life. And following that, I'd kind of realized that kind of direct service aspect. Again, while I liked it, I realized that kind of my talents lent well to some of the planning and implementation and developing, you know, new programs or ideas. And
mm-hmm.
and so I took an opportunity to work at a place called the Family Center, which is a part of Family and Children's Services.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this this wonderful, amazing building, which had just been built, but was fairly empty at the time because it was a new building and the community hadn't really embraced it quite yet. And so that was part of my role, was to build the community within the center and to take the center out into the community and,
right.
and to build some of those connections. And so within that space, I had, a number of great opportunities to learn, again, more about the operations of an organization and how it is that we can go about planning to implement something that again, can better serve the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so after some time, you know, learning and growing there, there was an organization that worked out of the Family Center, which had an opening for an executive director position. And at the time, that organization was called FACIL, Waterloo Region.
Mm.
And it felt like the right fit. They serve adults with developmental disabilities primarily, and but in a very the way that they approach it is very community-based. It's about community development. It's about building connections, and so that's just right up my alley. And so it felt like the right opportunity where it was, you know, kind of this very startup organization, you know, very fledgling and just trying to find its feet, and receiving its first kind of government funding. So growth was on the horizon, and so I took on that position. And after about a year, we rebranded and renamed the organization, Bridges to Belonging,
right?
Okay. And grew that organization. So it tripled or quadrupled in size in a few years as we were, you know, scaling up, partly due to that funding, but also due to, you know, some really good growth and people recognizing it as an important resource and connecting with us. So I was very proud of the work that I had a chance to do there. And now I grew up in Cambridge, and I now live in Cambridge. So I returned there about a year and a half ago. And I've always admired the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank. So, excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold there. At the very first time that I came into the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank, you know, a number of years ago, I kind of walked in, and it's an unexpected place. Just the vibrancy of it, the you know, kind of the number of people, but there's a really positive energy about the place, about the people who are there, and the people who work there. And so I was immediately struck by that, and so I've always kind of admired the work that they do, and the way that they treat and serve people. So it kind of reminded me of my, you know, that. My first experiences at the Working Center with the way that that you meet people who are coming to get some support and providing that welcoming space. So it's, you know, an organization that I always admired, and the opportunity came up to fill the upcoming vacancy with Pat Singleton, the executive director who had been there for 23 years, retiring, and Pat had done this absolutely incredible job with this organization, and you know, that's you know, the work that she and of course the team as well had done, you know, was what drew me to the place, and so I assumed the position about a month ago. I had a couple of weeks to try and glean as much as I possibly could from Pat, so we had a couple of weeks of crossover, and I got a chance to work with her and learn from her, and you know, just wish I had more of a chance to work with her over the years. Absolutely a terrific person. And so that's been my world for the last month, is just trying to find my feet in that space.
Oh, that's very exciting. And I mean, once again, congratulations. It's really exciting to see folks that are, you know, in leadership roles like that, wanting to get more engaged with the community and more, you know, driving growth in the sense of, okay, addressing issues. I think sometimes from the outside, it's viewed the reverse, like the idea, you know, the thinking being, well, we shouldn't need these programs, therefore we shouldn't focus on them, as a way to somehow, like, that's going to address, it doesn't do anything for the underlying issues.
Right.
It just creates a, you know, a bit of a head in the sand approach, right?
But yeah.
For those that aren't sort of directly involved, I sense that, I hear that, and I probably was like that myself before I knew better, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a bit more when you were mentioning the vibrancy, because that's one of the things that I've noticed. You mentioned the Working Center that. I think, and I'm thinking it was definitely prior to you taking over at the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank, but I had gone into the Working Center, I think, to meet somebody or have a coffee and whatnot. And I didn't actually know too much about its story, other than great place, good food, nice people, and have a coffee, right? And a great gathering place. So mm-hmm. I had interacted in those capacities and then started to understand, wait a minute, this is there's a lot more to this place.
Yeah, it's like peeling back an onion as you find more and more of what they do. Yeah.
And that's what I, you know, the more you go, okay, well that's kind of the beauty of it, is mm-hmm. it isn't you know, it had a completely different feel than it being, okay, this is a, you know, a place that's helping people that need help, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that, while that's true, that's not, you know, the
right.
A big giant neon light flashing. So is that, can you tell me a bit more, like at the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank, because if that's an organization I don't know, mm-hmm. my thinking in my head, out of ignorance is, you know, I have a view of a food bank as to the ones I've known and seen as somewhere right. you bring food, canned goods, and people show up and take canned goods. And,
yep.
I've got it all wrong.
And you know, to an extent, it is that. I mean, right. we certainly have canned goods, and if you've got some you'd like to donate, we will take them.
Sure.
And make sure that they get to mm-hmm. a good place. But also, if you have, you know, we often talk about, you know, bring your non-perishable food items. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, if you're growing a garden mm-hmm. and you've got great, you know, fruits and vegetables, bring those in. We'll make sure that those get to the right place too.
Right.
So,
okay.
So it's, you know, it's also, you know, kind of where we're the direction that we're heading too. So that, that idea of, you know, the food bank being, you know, this place with, you know, stacks of cans of, mm-hmm. You know, SpaghettiOs or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to a degree we have that, but we're really focused on supporting health and well-being of the people that we're serving too, and doing so with dignity as well. What's really interesting about the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank is that, so we are both a collector of food. So we will go out to grocery stores and do food drives and things like that to bring the food in.
Yes.
But we also are a distributor. So mm-hmm. so we do that frontline direct service as well. We run primarily two food security programs. So the first one being the food hamper program, which is a bit of a misnomer too. But people often hear about, you know, a food hamper. That's, you know, so we call it an emergency hamper. It's when somebody is, you know, really in need right now. They can come in, and that we don't actually have hampers, or, you know, we ask you to bring your own bags.
Right,
And it's a bit more of a shopping model than you might expect. So rather than us handing you a box and saying, here's the foods that we think you should have,
right.
We have food set up, and you will come around, and a volunteer will help you to pick out the foods that you want and that are helpful for you. That's the emergency food hamper program. And we get funding, you know, from the region of Waterloo and from the NRWA, and of course we operate with, you know, significantly with donations as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another program which is unique, called the Food Cooperative.
Okay.
So this is more of a longer term support. And so when people will come in for the emergency food hamper, we'll let them know, by the way, have you heard about our food co-op? And this is where a bit more of that, the self-help model, so where the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank mm-hmm. Comes into play. So the food cooperative, you become a member of the food co-op.
Okay.
You pay $10 a month or your dues. You are able to do two food pickups. And, you know, we say that, you know, it's about a $60 kind of grocery trip each time. Looking at it, probably a bit more than that. But so I'm not sure if that's how up to date that is, but so that's a pretty good deal. We ask you to volunteer a minimum of 4 hours a month.
Okay.
So that's part of that membership base as well.
Okay.
So we are asking you to give back and be an active part of this program, but also hopefully you have a chance to develop skills to your resume, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you're giving back to your community. And so, you know, we don't necessarily dictate, well, you must come in here to volunteer. You could be volunteering in your neighborhood. You could be volunteering at your child's school. You could taking English as a second language classes, and we'll count that. It's really about your participation in the community and what you're giving back. And so it's you know, I think it's a really beautiful program, again, mm-hmm. because it you know, again, selective about what resources people can get. And it encourages that community participation. I had the opportunity last week to join in on. So we have our members who will be volunteers, and then we have what are called the mentors.
Okay.
People who have been members for some time and been volunteering for some time that become mentors who also then help people to pick out foods or think about how to use them and things like that. So people have a bit more experience with it. I got to go to a mentor meeting and where they were giving out service awards.
Okay.
Two of the people there, they were getting what they called their green badge because we, you know, everybody gets their name tags, but they had special green name tags because they had been volunteering there for at least 10 years.
Wow.
And each of them talked about, you know, kind of the first time that they walked in looking for some help. And here they are 10 years later. They've been giving back for 10 years. Mm-hmm. All these people have walked in the door. They've had a positive impact with them. And they talked about the, you know, the sense of purpose, the accomplishment that that this meant to them. You know, that one of them was talking about how, you know, I set this goal years ago, mm-hmm. and here it is, I've got it, right? And so, you know, this really it's this really wonderful opportunity for people to be a part of their community and to find, you know, places of meaning and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And so. Mm-hmm. All that based around people need food.
Right, right.
So it's really, you know, the work that the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank does really pairs that community, you know, recognizing the value that everybody has along with the food security.
Right.
Another example of that, yesterday I was visiting one of our gardens. So we have 4, maybe 5 gardens now. We have a great partnership at RARE in Cambridge, mm-hmm. so the RARE okay. Charitable Reserve.
Yeah.
So if you go up this long path up this hill, mm-hmm. there's this incredible gardens. There's a number of community gardens, but we've got this huge area that's devoted to the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank. There's an orchard. So that we just, last year, I believe it was a Rotary Club, gave implanted... maybe I think 60 or so fruit trees, which, you know, eventually will be giving us hundreds of pounds of food, which will come back to the food bank. And these really great partnerships there. I was at the Preston Community Garden, where, again, a big portion of it is devoted to the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank. There's a new garden that was just planted, which is a partnership between a business owner who had this land and an industrial area.
Okay.
Cambridge Islamic School mm-hmm. coming out and planting and getting involved in volunteering. So it's again that idea of, you know, here we are collecting cans of food and then distributing cans of food.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually got a community growing food for the community.
Right, right.
And what's really neat too is that we will have, you know, these wonderful corporate groups will come in and they will have some of their employees come and, you know, spend a day volunteering at the food bank. So a lot of times they'll go out to the garden. So you have somebody, you know, who may be employed in a, you know, a really well-paying position, working side by side at the garden with somebody who may be using the food bank and may be a recipient of the food that is being grown there.
Right.
You know, when your hands are in dirt, we're all kind of equal, right?
Right. Right.
And it's this wonderful chance for people who often, you know, wouldn't interact and to build community,
mm-hmm.
Again, around food security.
It sounds like certainly that example, great place to sort of help people build confidence, mm-hmm. which I would imagine is a huge, I guess, something that takes a huge hit when you're mm-hmm. in circumstances that,
yeah.
that dictate that you need to avail yourself of a food bank. You've got the obvious food security issue that's sort of mm-hmm. a primal need of needing to eat, but this is not happening typically in isolation to folks. So they're dealing with a whole host of other issues, mm-hmm. and I would think confidence and being able to maintain it, interpersonal relationships can be challenging. That sounds
yeah,
like
absolutely.
A great way to overcome
yeah.
that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's so. And you mentioned earlier about folks can bring fresh food in, and it's funny because that's yeah, it's almost like that model has been ingrained over all my mm-hmm. years. If it's got to mm-hmm. be non-perishable. Not only from the practical point of view of, well, you know, if you're going to a mm-hmm. hockey game, by
right.
the time your
yeah.
stuff, it's going to
yeah.
it's
yeah.
going to perish.
Yeah.
But also, you know, and I don't even know if any of it's true, but that there was this idea that there's a, I guess, a food safety concern in terms of the quality.
Right.
But obviously you guys have ways to mitigate that and say, absolutely. We know what, you know, fresh and not fresh is, and it's not, it's no bigger an issue than anything else.
Yeah.
So that's good, because I just started myself a small garden box in our backyard last summer and planted very little and was more of a, let's see how this goes. Mm-hmm. How's our time? Mm-hmm. But like it or not, when it came to harvest, we had way too many tomatoes.
Way more than you need. Yeah.
And, we're not, you know.
Yeah, what do you do with it? Yeah.
And we ate as much as we can, but that's not, you know, we give some to a neighbor, but it's not like the kind of thing where you're going to go to just on the street here. Here's some fresh food, you know.
Yeah.
People would look at you funny, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So that's good to know. So literally, can that be just brought to where? So where?
So we're located at 54 Ainslie Street South in
which is right
in Cambridge.
So I guess when I'm going, I'm going right to Water Street, left Ainslie, you're down.
Right. So we're across from the bus station, if you know where the Ainslie Street
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yep.
Across from the bus station. Okay. We've got this building there, this great building. Mm-hmm. It's a great community space. And part of that, you know, one of our tagline is more than a food bank. Mm-hmm. We're a whole lot more than a food bank. You know, talking about the food security programs that we do. By the way, we also do a Saturday lunch, which is open to the community as well. So we feed about 60 to 80 people on Saturdays. Again, at that location, we have satellite locations in Hespler and Preston and Ayr. So we will go out every other week to help people with giving their food hampers or their food co-op pickup in those areas, so that they don't necessarily need to travel into Galt. So we have that reach as well, and we provide food to between 15 and 20 other community groups or organizations in the community as well. So. So organizations that might have some kind of food program as well that may be serving people in our community, we will provide as much food as we can to them as well. So thinking about kind of a community meal, soup kitchens, things like that.
Okay, so some of that might come.
Exactly.
Take care of that piece. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so so we do that within Cambridge and North Dumfries, but we also have other pieces that we will help people with. So we have. A couple of street outreach workers who are funded both through the Local Health Integration Network and the Region of Waterloo, who are helping people who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness, to help to get them connected to resources, which is just a terrific resource that they work so hard, really talented, talented people. We have a grandparents group where we work with grandparent-led families. I'm still kind of learning some of them. Even we have peer-led seniors group. We have community nutrition workers. So somebody who's coming in to help people to learn about food safety and how to eat healthy. So kind of a nutritional element to it. In August, September, we have our backpacks for bookworms, where we distribute hundreds of backpacks with school supplies. So again, donated as well. So to families that we would serve. If there's a child who is heading to school and that's a concern for a parent, back to school shopping can get pretty expensive.
Sure.
That's something that we can help with. At Christmas time, we work with a number of community groups to help to sponsor families again when it comes to toys for kids, for food and pieces like that. So really great programs that way as well.
Yeah, that's an awful lot. So folks that feel like they'd like to take advantage of some of the services or find out more, do they typically literally just drop in or if they're going to do, like more people do go online, what's the best way? Is it through the website, through Facebook? Yeah.
Our website needs a little updating.
Okay.
So it's on the older side. We're working on starting a new website, which, hopefully will help people access a little bit more.
Okay.
Social media, Facebook and Twitter, we are active. We'll often get Facebook messages from somebody saying, hey, I need food. We say, you bet, we can help with that.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, here's how you can do that. People will call us, and a lot of people just drop in and say, hi, I've never been here. I need food.
Okay.
And that's where we get started.
Right. So there's
people.
There's no process beyond that. It's just.
No, yeah, we take people's information, and,
right.
And you know, we do have some reporting back to our funders and things like that. So of course we do collect some information, but you know, but we do our best to make it as simple of a process as possible.
Great.
And what's awesome too is that so many of the people who would access it are volunteers themselves.
Okay.
I was out at one of our satellite locations where we set up in a church actually. And it was really neat because all the people gathered to get all the food set up on all the tables and everything like that. Because again, it's kind of that shopping
right.
model where,
okay.
where people can travel around and pick out what they need. And everybody got it all set up, and then everybody went and sat down, grabbed their number, and then each took their turns to go and get the food.
Right.
So they were involved in setting it up, but then also collecting food. And,
yeah.
and so you know, again, really, really neat that you know, people. Are so generous in so many ways, and you know, that's one of the great things about this job is you can see just the incredible generosity of the community and from all aspects. So again, the people who are coming into access or supports are also the people that are giving back in so many ways as well.
So you probably really sounds like you've got a real opportunity to sort of validate the idea that you know there's goodness in everybody, which. You know, some days, if you look at just everything from a very high level, you'd get the impression that we're on our, you know, we're going down a hill without knowing what's going on.
Right.
But the reality I'm sensing, and the one I believe, and sounds like you're able to validate that, is despite all kinds of challenges and difficult circumstances, people are, you know, genuinely good and want to do good. Given the opportunity,
yeah.
right, which
yeah.
is very fantastic. I want to get in a couple quick announcements, and then I have two questions. I already forgot one.
Mm-hmm.
Two questions for you, so I'm going to ask you those in one sec. Just to segue slightly, all good things happening. An invite going out really to all our listeners, particularly in downtown Galt, all of Cambridge, but anybody else in the region, tonight at the Old Post Office, which is going to be the latest ID Exchange location down on Water Street. They're having their launch party at 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. tonight outside right in front of the Old Post Office. The parking lot across the street will be free of cars, and there's all kinds of stuff, food trucks, and there's going to be ice cream, all kinds of fun activities for all ages. And the highlight, as I understand it, is some wicked light show that's going to be projected on the building. I saw a few sneak peeks, Cameron, on I think on Twitter, some pictures folks had taken. This thing looks wild. I hope they don't wait too late to 10 o'clock because that gets into my bedtime.
Can I just add a secondary highlight to that too?
Sure, of course.
That there will be a Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank booth
awesome.
Set up,
okay.
And we will be
accepting
donations there. And you can come and talk to us and
great.
And hear more about what we do.
So. No, in this case is where you want non-perishables because people can't.
Right. Yeah.
You're not.
That's helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's great. So there we go. So that's one more thing. Yeah. If the projection, the ice cream wasn't enough, there's the kicker
right.
is the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank will be on site. That's 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. tonight on Water Street. And going out just a little bit further, July 18th, which is a Wednesday, two Wednesdays from now, 4:30 p.m., is the Lang's Family Picnic. Lang's community is celebrating 40 years, I believe. Celebrating, yeah, 40. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything seems, everybody's getting old. But that's a good old. So that's the Lang's Hub location in Preston. There's going to be booths, fun and games, and there's going to be a cool one. I'm not going to say anything about it because I... just because I want to create some buzz and secretness, and you got to go check it out. But I'm told there's going to be a pretty neat booth with a chance to maybe throw water balloons at a politician or something like that. I don't know. So that sounds interesting. I don't even know what it means really, but Either way, come out to the Langs Family Picnic, July 18th, 4:30, 7:30 p.m. at the Langs Hub location. And then tonight is the old post office launch party, downtown Galt, 6 to 10. Make sure to bring non-perishable items to the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank booth. And it is 1 o'clock. We've got a few minutes left with Cameron, from, the new executive director of the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank here on In Studio. So, Cameron, one thing I was thinking about as I'm listening to you, obviously you mentioned a few times corporate donors and different organizations that help. You get funding through, you know, through government in some cases, but a lot is donations. Mm-hmm. And I know you and the organization are immensely grateful for everything you get. So this is me speaking from the outside. My sense is the business community as a whole, corporations in particular, could do more. And by that, what I mean is I think it's fantastic that a lot of them, you know, allow their employees to go and volunteer time. I think that's actually a huge piece, because that has ramifications beyond just that. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of donations that are done. The reality is you have people to serve, you have ongoing needs. Do you have any suggestions or ideas around how we could get companies? And, you know, obviously I'm looking typically to the larger companies. I think small companies tend to do a disproportionate amount of helping and mm-hmm. wish yeah, they could do more.
Yeah, we have a lot of it.
Right, the local
small community. And large, yeah.
We, so what if I was going out as just a community advocate on my own and I was trying to get corporations or corporate leaders, business leaders to help, what kind of message would you put out to them?
Well, I mean, you know, the needs are small, the needs are great, and you know, any help that people can provide is very appreciated. And whether that's corporate, whether that's you know, your church or your faith community, whether that's a child setting up their lemonade stand, I mean, these are the things that you know, it doesn't have to be the biggest thing in the world to inspire others to do more as well. Mm. We got this really cool thing going on right now where there are three churches who are competing with each other to see who can raise who can collect as much food as they can.
Tell us about that. I did read about it. So tell us about that. What are the three organizations? There's
you're testing me now. Yeah. So, well, so Central Presbyterian.
I'll find them because I want to mention them, because I think it's a great, tell us about the how it works.
Well, they just, on their own, we've, you know, these are churches who have collected food for us in the past. And I think that, one of them kind of, challenged another one, and, you know, again, kind of new in this role, I'm just sort of getting a sense for some of the longevity of some of these relationships, but, they each selected a different, you know, highly needed food item. Mm-hmm. And
baked beans, pasta, spaghetti sauce. That's the three for this year.
Yep.
And the three churches, there's Wesley United. There is Trillium United. That's the one I had from Trillium out in Preston. And then, now I better find the third one. Central Presbyterian Church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So those three, I'll give you the stats here. Now it's not, obviously the folks on the radio will be like, geez, this Kevin guy knows everything about the food bank. This Kevin guy is reading the data from the Cambridge Times. So it's not like putting Cameron on the spot where I know all the data. Just very roughly, when this started, 2015, 243 jars of peanut butter were collected. The next year, 700 cans of peaches. 2016 had 1,375 jars of baby food. And then last year, 2,280 cans of fish. So obviously growing, but the idea, just to recap that I got this right, each of the churches is focusing on one item in a sort of friendly competition to see if who can get the most stuff. And that's an example of competition being used in a great way. Yeah. I hope they get hyper-competitive and the one church says, no, you think you're going to collect more sauce. Yeah. Oh, you should see the pasta I'm bringing in. Yeah.
And that's what's fun, right? I mean, we love to see that where people can get creative about it, and sometimes it'll be just a general food drive that people might do or companies might do. you know, there's a car dealership who does a serial drive, right? So, I mean, again, they can get more specific about that, and then they can stack all the serial and, you know, make a nice display of it, you know, really cool things like that. And, you know, of course, when it comes to corporate donations or personal donations, you know, we love food. Money is very helpful as well.
Sure.
Partly because sometimes, so for example, in the summer season, our food donations drop, and as people are otherwise distracted, and so during this time of the year, we might need to do more food purchases. So we have to do some food purchase to make sure that that we have what people need and that we can meet the need. And so you know, with that money and buying in bulk, we can get some benefit to that, as well as kind of the operation of the organization and you know, paying our hydro bill and things like that.
Sure.
You know, so that's incredibly helpful as well. And then when it comes to, you know, some of the larger projects, like, you know, even when our truck needs to be repaired or things like that.
Yeah.
Right. So some of those pieces are incredibly helpful. But I mean, the you know, the corporate community has been so incredibly supportive, and you know, as well as the faith communities and the individual donors, you know, the people who will walk in, and you know, for some people that's you know, they can write a check for thousands of dollars. Some people will be able to contribute a few dollars, and each is incredibly meaningful for that person, and that's, you know, that's what we really, I mean, it's really appreciated by us.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So just a couple of minutes left. I want to make sure we get out for folks. If somebody wants to volunteer their time, or if somebody wants to donate financially or otherwise, is there phone number, or email, or website? Where am I sending them?
Yeah, so cambridgefoodbank.on.ca. Absolutely, volunteers. We have over 1,000 active volunteers in a given year.
Wow.
So over 1,000 different people will come in and volunteer each year. It's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some of them, it's you know, maybe a high school student looking to get their volunteer hours, and they'll come in and they'll sort food, you know, once or twice. Some people, you know, every Tuesday they run the clothing room, or every Thursday, or the, you know, the, so they'll have their specific place to be.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's, you know, they come out and they work in the gardens every Wednesday or whatever it might be. You know, so all kinds of different volunteering opportunities, corporate volunteering opportunities, or groups, you know, Boy Scouts coming in as a troop, or, you know, whatever it might be. Tara is the name of our volunteer coordinator. So she would be the one to talk to, does a remarkable job, somehow manages and keeps organized, you know, over 1,000 volunteers. So that's
yeah,
really remarkable.
Logistically, that's mind blowing, and that's great. That's that's another example just where you see people thrive and shine, you know, it works, right?
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I really want to thank you, Cameron, for coming on. It's been in studio with Kevin, speaking with Cameron Dearlove. And certainly I'd like to offer you, Cameron, if you have other folks, it's great to have, you know, you on as the executive director. You're going to provide a lot of your skills and leadership and experiences to continue the great work that Pat's done. But I'd encourage you, if you know of anybody within your organization, including volunteers, clients, or anybody touching the organization, that say, hey, I want to know stuff about this radio thing, or I want to come on to the show, I would welcome that opportunity to chat with them, and they should feel very welcome as well. So
we'll take you up on that.
Yeah, that would be great. So thank you so much. I'm gonna play send us out on a song. I should have asked you ahead of time what you wanted to hear, but if I ask you, I'm not going to have it. I hope you're going to be okay with this. This is a Cambridge, Region of Waterloo singer called Cecile Monique that played some really cool stuff in all kinds of languages. I think there's some Latin in this one, but it's a song called Immortal Beloved. So we're going to go out with that. And thank you again, Cameron. Have a great Friday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.